What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
I'm as baffled by this conflicting evidence as you are. His prints are all over the crime scene. The TV footage puts him 60 miles away.
He can't have been in two places at once. You know me.
I didn't kill that kid, Ralph.
Do you see how strange this is?
What would make someone do such a thing?
He didn't do it.
I have no tolerance for the unexplainable.
Well then, sir, you'll have no tolerance for me.
Answer me this. Do you think Terry Maitland killed that boy?
If he didn't do it, someone else did. Someone else did. Someone else did.
Hello, and welcome back to Cast of What Critical. Woohoo! Our full cast is back today. Yay.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
course,
yeah.
I am Emma, your host, and I am joined by Lucy.
Hello.
And we're welcoming back the lads down under, Len and Gaz.
All right.
I don't like being called the lads.
I don't like being called down under.
Yeah, oh, true. And we'll talk more about down under later, Gareth.
Oh, won't we just? But even if you are offended, we're going to carry on. So we're here today to talk to you about the latest installment of The Outsider, Episode 8, Foxhead. As usual, we'll be talking about our overall thoughts and our blueberry scores. We'll follow that with a deep dive into the plot. And then before we mooch over to King Corner to talk about book differences and finally end up with some fantastic listener feedback. So let's dive straight in. Let's talk about opinions on the episode. Len, please tell us what you thought of episode 8 and give a quick explanation of the blueberry system and your rating for this episode.
Yes, thanks, Emma. The blueberry system is thus, for any new listeners, most people are probably sick of us describing it by now.
Correct.
0 to 5, there can be no halves, so it's a very harsh but fair scale. 5 is obviously excellent, 0 being terrible. The show, in my opinion, hasn't had a 5 blueberry episode just yet. And I've been away for the last few podcasts, and the show definitely has meandered. Episodes like 5 and 6, I think you're really seeing why this needed to be a shorter season, like a 6-episode sort of season, I think, then it would have really had a bit more punch in some of those episodes. In saying that, I still like some of the performances. I still think it's a very high-quality show. It just feels a little drawn out. Episode 7 was an improvement, and Episode 8 is, in my opinion, continuing a sort of a resurgence towards, you know, as we build to the climax of this season. I'm going to give it a 4. I particularly enjoyed the change of location. I enjoyed the whole team sort of working together now. I'm really liking that. You know, that we've got this. It's actually quite a big team, really, when you think about it. It's like 6 people involved. And they're all just like sitting around babysitting Claude. I was like, this is weird. But it's kind of weird in a good way that I enjoyed.
It's even more than Fan Critical.
It's even more than Fan Critical membership. Well, actually, Gareth, that's not necessarily true. More on that later. But I really enjoyed it. I like Cynthia Erivo still doing great work here. And I know you guys haven't had a lot of love for Ben Mendelsohn's Ralph character in the last few episodes. And I completely agree with that because he's obviously like literally the reason the show is stalling. He's literally the epitome of the show drawing this out as long as possible. But I thought he was better this episode. He's coming round to it. And then finally at the end of the episode, we get the sort of reveal that he, after he sees the physical evidence, like on camera, you sort of see that moment where it's like, okay, Ralph's all in here. He's in.
Maybe
and that's good.
Was the outsider all along.
Ooh, or not, Gareth. Or, you know, Stephen King does do weird twists. Who knows? You know? Emma knows. we don't. We will soon. But yeah, good episode. Really looking forward to the last two, to be honest with you. And anyone who's interested, by the way, just quickly, is a lot of buzz going around that they're going to make this they're going to make a season two of this. Which I don't know how they're going to do that, but there's a lot of it's doing very well on HBO. It's doing very, very well. So just 2 cents there.
Thank you very much, Len. Four Blues, very good. Lucy, what did you think of this episode?
Okay, this is definitely my favourite episode of the series so far.
Ooh.
And I did think about this, the rating I was going to give, for quite a while, longer than I normally give it. This is going to be my last appearance on this podcast.
Boo.
I know, shame, because I've been a bit of a stalwart. So I thought, you know what? This had peril. This had genuine scares.
Yep.
This had genuine emotion. This had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a plan now for what to do. Had more Paddy Considine, so good.
Gotta love that.
Had Max Beasley randomly.
Love
from
that.
Hotel Babylon. absolute noughties. Actor from the UK. So I thought, you know what, I love this episode. I thought it was the best yet. How can I still give it a 4? So I'm going in with my first 5 of the series.
Woo! Exciting stuff.
I know.
That's mental. 5.
It's not mental at all.
No, that's fair. I mean, I can see how you can give this episode 1, to be fair, but episode 1 more so for me.
Correct.
And definitely Gareth.
Yeah, I mean, episode 1 was a 5.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
But fair enough.
Very, very fair enough. And well done to the outsider.
I'm glad you've arrived.
Well, do you want to let us know what you thought of this episode and what your blueprints would be?
Slagging us off. What did you think?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, I will. But, I mean, I just, it was a good episode. And I think, here's what I think. You are totally entitled to your own opinion. And that's fine. I feel like maybe the disappointment of the last 3 or 4 episodes has got you overexcited that there's one that wasn't quite as disappointing. Look, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it feels like to me, because this wasn't. I know 5 Blueberry doesn't necessarily represent perfect, but this was far from perfect. There's some really weird bits that just don't make sense, and like I was just like, what? Why has that happened?
I'll give you the best episode so far, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Other than maybe the first one.
Yeah, but the first one, you gave a 4.
Yeah, things change, yeah. People change.
Yeah, we all change. Move on.
People change.
I mean, like, okay. As you're in the 5 Blueberry camp, can you tell me what this interaction was about? All right. Girl in the caravan, speaking to the girl that works at the camp.
Yeah.
Right. I like your earrings.
She's just an awesome teenager.
Met by absolute silence. What is that? Why is that?
That girl was really rude, actually. I was going to bring that up. She's showed that the girl. liked it, because these are like quiet characters that are not going to be in it. You've asked the question. Do you want to actually hear the answer? Or
silly noises over here.
I think they gave like a little bit of a backstory to the family, which I enjoyed, because it meant that you cared about what happened to them. So she's on a lame holiday with, I assume, her grandparents and her little brother.
I think
they're
meant
trying
to be
her
parents.
A bit older. Really?
Yeah.
They looked really old.
Jesus.
Yeah, I agree.
Surely that's
and
a blueberry.
She's just trying to be a bit older, so she's trying to get in with the older girl with the
they're
earrings.
Definitely
she's
older.
Very rude. And then she wants to hang around with boys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
teenage
fair.
Boys.
And ice cubes. Okay, just giving a little bit of backstory. I thought it was rude of the girl to ignore her, but I didn't think it was weird.
Okay. Second unnecessary line in this moment, like in this scene, is like, after coming here for 15 years, I can honestly say I've had enough. I'm bored of it now. Why is the little kid acting like it's the first time he's ever been, and he can't believe that there's this
Maybe
cave?
Maybe they found
there.
New caves.
Well, and also, in fairness, as his father says later, he is a bit of a nerd, but he loves it. So let him have his love. Let him love his caves. Just as long as he doesn't go wandering off with weird men.
A lot, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. Only when he had the mask on. It's all of it's a little bit contrived, I think, to get to the fairground scene. And I think there's a lot of conveniences and contrivances throughout the episode. But the fairground scene is good. It is very chilling. And there are some great individual scenes throughout. I just don't think it kind of... I think when you look at it, it doesn't really hold together perfectly. Which is why I can only give this a 4 blueberry score.
That's a good score. I gave it a 4 as well.
Yeah, still, that's still really score. Good though. So,
I love this episode.
It feels good to be positive.
It does, doesn't it? I absolutely love this episode. We got action, we got plot movement, we got proof. And finally, we've got Ralph onto the El Cucho coach.
Yeah, El Cucho.
El Cucho, there we go, new name. Holly was magnificent. I loved Eunice and Andy. Ralph was less irritating. The music was spot on. And I really, like you, I spent a lot of time thinking about my score for this episode. I ummed and I ahed about it. But this is absolutely the best episode we've had since the beginning of the season. Yeah. And after much...
Definitely since the first episode. Because yeah. I think it was scary.
Yeah, and it was jumpy.
And that is where it hasn't been scary, really. Might have been a bit creepy, unnerving. But there were certain moments, certain sound effects.
This was done really well. Really, really well. And I am very, very pleased to be able to give this episode my first 5 blueberries of the season 2. I'm very excited.
I got 5 on it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how we agree and disagree throughout the deep dive into the plot. So thank you, 2 fours, 2 fives. That is a pretty bloody good set of ratings. And just before we dive into the plot, I think it might be time for a little advert break.
Well, I'm going to do the advert for a change today, guys.
This is going to be shit.
Well, Gareth, that's a bit below the belt, mate. Speaking of below the belt, I would love to tell the listeners about a sponsor. We actually have a sponsor this week. An actual sponsor.
Hitting the big time.
Hitting the big time. Well, you know, we're not in the big time yet. We're just slowly getting up the big time.
Time.
And the sponsor this week is Manscaped. And, you know, it's actually a very up-and-coming brand, Gareth. Now, for any guys out there or anyone looking to get a guy a really great gift, this is a fantastic product. Emma and Lucy over there in lovely London. Just a question. Do you like a nicely groomed man in those special areas?
Do you mean down below? Then?
Down below. Yeah, that's right,
that's
Emma.
A very personal question. But seeing as it is for Manscaped, our sponsor, I'm sure I can answer. It very much depends. Not too groomed, but groomed enough, I think.
Yeah, but there is some grooming
you
there.
You want it to be under control.
Yeah.
Under control. And that is
not
a very
like wild man
good
of the woods.
Term, yeah. Lucy. Very, very good. And Gareth, as you know, a lot when it comes to like, you know, grooming down there, using regular beard trimmer is dangerous, mate.
Well, no, don't use your regular beard trimmer.
Do not sharp, use your regular beard trimmer.
But look, that does mean that it's hard. Sorry, it's not. That's not what I mean.
Yeah,
but
it's
really tricky.
If it's hard, no.
Can help. Can. It's a tricky job. It is a tricky job.
Yeah.
And be a delicate careful with area.
Scissors. Yeah.
Be
exactly.
Very careful with scissors.
The thing is, those beard trimmers just aren't designed for those sort of sensitive areas. Sometimes
what
you can get
though,
a bit
then?
Of a scare. Well, I have to say, the Manscaped pack or kit that you can order on manscaped.com is actually brilliant. I have to say, I've been using this product. It is an absolute game changer. It's got like a ceramic blade, which makes it incredibly smooth. There's no chance of any dangerous incidents happening. It's got a little light on it that illuminates when you're trimming down there.
You could use it as a reader as well, like a night reader.
100%. It's also got a 90-minute battery life. 90-minute battery life. So if you need a massive trim, perfect in a way. 90 minutes.
Who's taking that long? Right, honestly, Len came over last night to play football. He was so excited about this product. Like, he was like, this thing...
Off camera.
I'm not going to lie, it's fucking good.
It is.
That's
good.
A little peek behind the veil. Good. But I'm 100% going to get one.
Yeah, Gaz is going to get one.
Got any special offers for me, mate?
I have, mate. And I'm going to say those in 2 seconds. I just wanted to talk about his lovely design work. It comes in an amazing box. Comes with loads of little lotions and moisturisers that you use before and after using the product. It's actually genuinely brilliant. So I have got an offer for you, Gareth. You can get 20% off, and free shipping with the code FANCRITICAL, all one word in big letters. That is the code FANCRITICAL at manscaped.com. So that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and using the code FANCRITICAL, all one word, capital letters, to get yours. That's it, manscaped.com, FANCRITICAL. So great product. Go check it out. I highly recommend it. And it's a great gift as well, if you're thinking of a gift for a female partner. It's a great gift. Mm. That's the advert for our first ever sponsor, which is very exciting. Some stuff that we need to talk about for the Fan Critical Podcast Network. Number one, Westworld is returning in 2 weeks' time.
Yay.
We have very good Westworld coverage with John being the host. He will be back for this. We would love anyone listening to this who listens to Westworld to please go to The Hosts of Westworld. That is our specific Westworld podcast channel. That's The Hosts of Westworld. And please do subscribe to that channel and get excited for all of our old coverage on there. Get excited for season three. Season three looks like it's actually going to be very good after what was somewhat of a misstep of season two. So we're actually very excited for that.
If you need a reminder as well, maybe go back and watch season two and have a listen to our wonderful pod.
100%.
Yeah. Listen to me being utterly baffled for 10 episodes and not having any idea what's happening.
Yeah, majorly me.
I will say those Westworld podcasts are some of my favourite podcasts that we've ever done. They are genuinely hilarious and I'm very much looking forward to having fun with it again this year. That's back on March 15th. Hosts of Westworld, check it out. We have a new podcast or an associated podcast that has begun in the Fan Critical Podcast Network.
I was going to call it a sister pod, but I tell you what, a brother pod is
More likely
applicable, isn't
applicable
it?
Applicable, because Gareth's brother, along with two other lovely podcasters, Jesse and Keelan, have begun a podcast called Story Mode, and that is a video game podcast, and that is part of the Fan Critical Podcast family. If you enjoy video games, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners do, please do search for Story Mode, a video game podcast by Fan Critical. You'll see it on Spotify and iTunes. And if you could subscribe to that and give it a listen, we would very much love that. That'd be a great little favour to us. And just check it out. It's actually really good. They've only got one episode out so far, another one coming in a week or so. So it'll be like a bi-weekly sort of podcast where they talk about all things video games. And other than that, leave us some reviews, because we love the reviews here at Fan Critical and Castle Rock Critical.
Yep.
If you want to leave us a review, do it on iTunes. We love seeing those, don't we, Gareth?
Especially the five-star.
Five-star or five-blueberry. You know,
the conversion rate is really similar at the moment, so that's good.
Apple works in stars, which is ludicrous in a way.
Yeah.
We work in blueberries. And I'm going to throw it over to Lucy now to talk about our Patreon. Luce, shoot.
Yep, so Patreon still going strong. We haven't had any new Patreons for a while. What did we do wrong, guys?
It's been about a week.
We
haven't had any in a week, so I mean...
I think it was the drawings.
The drawings scared people. Whilst pissed, I'll be honest. So the tale writing was entirely my fault.
And we still need Gareth. Oh, you did, Gareth.
You did, well done, Gareth.
Have you not listened to the podcast?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I just wanted you to remind people.
Oh, okay. And we still need Gareth to write out all the states in America on a map.
You've got to draw them.
Easy.
Geography
He'll fuck it up.
Easy. Start with the Dakotas, because they always get forgotten.
Mm. Patreon, as Lucy said, going very well.
So if you are interested in joining as a Patreon, the benefits that you get range from being able to join our Discord server, where you can chat to us about whatever you fancy at any given time, or you can commission a cast it, where we recast classic films to horrifying effect, usually. Or you can even go senior or elite, where you can commission your own podcast.
And we've got two commission podcasts coming up in the next few weeks.
Big
one
time.
Inception.
Great
film. I rewatched last night, loved it.
Rewatched.
And another one on Her, which Lucy and I have never seen.
Also, we're looking
forward very much to recording on that.
Two very good choices. So thank you, Michael and Chris.
Two great choices. I'm buzzing to record those two podcasts, to be honest with you. So they'll be out very soon. So that is patreon.com/ Fan Critical, and that is pretty much the advertising done for today. So let's jump into it. But before I leave, that's remember 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com using the code Fan Critical, all one word, capital letters. Let's jump into it, Emma.
Okay, time to get into the episode proper. So we open up with Jack making a 911 call to say that a cop has been shot near his apartment, which appears to draw away the surveillance team, which is weird. So then he breaks inside, grabs a load of guns, gets back to his car. Don't understand that. Let's move on.
Oh, right. I quite liked it. What, I thought
the,
it was clever.
That the surveillance team would go to check that out.
Well, I think is the idea is it's a small town.
Yeah.
There's only limited a certain resources. Limited resources. There's been a shooting. You would get quite a few units true. Out there. So yeah. I actually thought it was quite smart in his crazy, sort of crazed mindset.
He's not an idiot. He's not an idiot.
No.
Neither.
Just an alcoholic.
Neither is our Claude Bolton. It sounds like you're talking about me. Neither is our Claude Bolton. He has made his way all the way to Cecil, Tennessee, where he meets up with his brother, who is named Seal. It's just not even, let's not even go there. So they have a bit of a catch up.
They're not even trying with the names in this show, are they?
No, I mean, they've put an E on it. Seal Bolton. What an awful...
I mean, no offence to our American listeners, but it is America and they will call people anything.
It sounds like some kind of wood glue. Oh.
It sounds like a sea animal.
All that, yeah.
Sounds like an R&B singer.
Yeah.
Who are you, Seal?
Who are you, Seal man? So a bit of a catching up. And actually, one of the things I really liked about this scene was that Seal asks why Claude left the ass crack. And he's like, no, man, it's the peach crease, which did make me laugh. But what Claude says is quite interesting. So he claims it's because if he stayed, he felt like something terrible would happen to him. Now, that's absolutely correct. Agreed. Gaz, why do you think he thought that?
Well, because he's getting... So here's an inconsistency, I guess, is that he's getting all sick and dizzy and feels like somebody's trying to get inside his head because the outside is turning into him. That didn't happen with...
Well, we don't know it didn't happen with Terry. We caught Terry as soon as the event has happened.
Yeah, we don't know.
Like,
I mean, you are right in terms of inconsistency, Gaz. But do you think that's what was causing him to feel like that, or do you think it's just...
I think that was the implication.
I thought it was that this is what that thing does. It's sort of like it needs the people to be somewhere else, right? So it has to scare them, drives them away somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is true, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll come back to that because we talk a lot more about that later.
Can I ask a quick question? If that is the case, if he needs to drive him away somewhere else, why has he driven him to Cecil and then followed him to Cecil?
Because that doesn't make sense and there's no rules for
El Cuco. El Cuco does just what he wants to do, mate.
Yeah.
El Cuco is his own man.
Yeah, but you've just set up a rule.
Almost after he's eaten. No, I haven't set it off. I'm just saying.
Well, the original rule was thus. It was that El Cucho would take on someone's form when they were away from their home city. And then, kill the people in the home city so we could get away with it and move on somewhere else. So we really fucked it a little bit with Claude because I think he's got confused, basically.
I feel like he's getting desperate. Yeah. And he's making mistakes.
He's getting desperate. He's got a stinking hangover. He can't see straight. He's halfway through transitioning. He's looking at himself in the mirror thinking, this is awful. Desperate times. So speaking of desperate times, we'll head back to Cherokee City. The entire investigative team discuss the possibility that they are probably going to have to find Claude before El Cucho can turn into him. Ralph's in the corner looking like, I don't believe any of this, I don't believe it. Eunice says he's been in touch with Claude's parole officer and they find out that he's asked for permission to go and see his brother in Cecil. So, fully armed with his current location, Holly states her plan to go and find him, isolate him, both from harm and from blame, so they can make sure they know where he is, and explains that basically everything they've gathered points to the fact that El Cucho is still in mid-transformation, so he's weak and potentially vulnerable.
And making mistakes.
Yeah, and so we already know it had to run once before it was at full strength after the video of Terry surfaced, which is why he's taken Jack on. And actually, he could potentially flee again. And he might be in a position where he's much easier to stop. Now, I quite enjoyed this initial bit. So we eventually get Andy, Eunice, and shockingly, Ralph, offering to travel with Holly to Cecil. Alec declines, and they all head out to their cars. Andy goes with Eunice, Ralph goes with Holly. What did we think about this whole kind of setup, Lucy?
I love it when a plan comes together.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it when they all gang up.
tidy.
Love Eunice. So, just thumbs up for me. Yeah, it's just good for them to go out and do something. There's a plan, and they put the plan into action rather than just moping around and looking at goo and wondering how much airways. Like, yes, come on.
How much is a radio transition worth?
How heavy is a hologram?
Something about them. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it wasn't air, but I couldn't remember. Yeah, it's good to get something tangible, a plan, and to see them all together. And yeah, Ralph being somewhat willing to indulge.
And he's gutted about the car arrangements.
Yeah.
He's
like,
he looked like kicked a puppy.
He's just so needy, though, isn't he? He's like, I'll ride with you. He's like, she's like, oh, fucking hell, I need a little break. I think it's better I'll ride with the really mopey dickhead who's been holding the show up for the last couple of episodes.
yeah. Poor Andy.
I think he's still better than
some
you.
Serious conversations, yeah. No, but then, like, I like this. I like the team. All assembling. I was disappointed in Alec because, you know, I thought he was all aboard the train.
I was going to ask you, why do you think he said no?
Well, we know why, but, and I thought his explanation actually, I liked a little bit, again, a little bit more background into Alec with all these spooky encounters he seems to have had in his life.
He's not had a good run of luck, has he?
Spin off. He's in season two. He's the main guy in
Origin
season two.
Story.
Alec Pelly, PI.
Yeah.
I'd watch that. 100%.
Can Eunice be in it?
Yeah. Okay. Go on then. So everybody trots off to go to Tennessee. Fantastic. Jeannie's told Ralph that she's not really sure where he's going, but Ralph says it's fine, don't worry about it. Jack hears his APB. He also has a very hungry passenger. So he stops by a river and with his massive arsenal of guns, just shoots some poor bloke who's been fishing and steals his truck.
This seems out of the ordinary.
This seems desperate.
Yeah.
Again, it seems desperate. Yeah.
Do you know what I thought about it? I was like, oh, Jesus, this is probably what was going to happen to bloody Holly if she hadn't got away last week.
Yeah,
and I
interesting.
Was like, oh, I'm glad she didn't get eaten. Because it seems that they had this theory that he only eats kids. Well, they're wrong because he doesn't. He eats. We know he eats animals.
Yeah. But I also think it's desperation. Because he needs the strength. And so he talks about, like, you know, he gets back in the fisherman's truck and he's driving along and there's this, like, rearview mirror dangly thing with pictures of the family, which are fucking awful.
Sad.
And Jack's pretty shaken up, pulls over. And then the El Cucho reaches in from the back seat and it's like, give me this. And then says, I need to eat again because my last meal was full of cancer. What he really wants is a meal full of tears and sorrow. I think he's just desperate because he's having to move too fast.
He's not ready.
And he's not ready, so he needs to sustain himself somehow. But you can't just go around eating kids, can you? Because he's got no one to blame it on because he's not transitioned.
Mm. Yeah, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail.
I've always just wondered, why doesn't he just eat the kid? He doesn't need to go for all this. I know he wants the grief and all that sort of stuff, but if he's in a bit of a rush, just go, oh, I'll just have the kid this time. Hold off on the grief. Hold off on the, you know, destroying a family.
Would you like a side of grief with that?
But he really wants this time.
I
think the grief is all, like, the residual grief is all part of it. Otherwise, he would just be a monster that just killed kids and he wouldn't have to frame people and destroy families. So I guess that's
true.
Part of it. Did anyone else, with all these fucking driving scenes, were you expecting them to hit something to jump out?
Like, I was expecting that jackknife flurry.
Haunting of Hill House, something. Some of the camera angles, I thought we were going to get something coming from behind. I was watching it like, oh. It's really unnerving. Too many driving scenes.
But I also think, and we'll talk about some of those in a bit more detail, because they're some of my favourite scenes, actually. I think one of the things about this season is that, and I think Todd's talked about this a number of times, is the way it's shot is very creepy.
Yes.
Even if shit's not really happening.
You're expecting it.
It's very tense and it's very kind of in and out and interesting kind of focuses. And that does make a difference massively. But should we get on the road with our little gang?
Yep.
Gang, gang.
Let's do it.
On the road trip.
Yeah, we don't need singing. All right, come on. So Eunice and Andy, we've got our first little travelling couple here, travelling duo. Andy is asked by Eunice if he believes in El Cucho. Andy's reply is that he believes in Holly, which I think is quite sweet.
Man up.
Yeah, well,
needy again.
It's Andy.
I believe in Holly.
It's needy
whiny.
Again.
Such a whiny little Why
you
not?
Leave he's Andy not alone.
Weakling.
Every time I talk about Andy, I feel like I'm talking about Toy Story.
I've
so
got
then...
a feeling Andy's going to die.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's
it's
the sword.
Be a real heart. It's going to be a gut punch for Holly.
But what's brilliant about this scene is that Eunice basically talks about how, oh, has she done that thing where she looks at you and she knows when you're dying, so then she can't look at you again. And Andy is absolutely shitting himself. And then Eunice just starts giggling away because he's taking the piss. And I thought it was fucking brilliant. I mean, like, I kind of wish we'd had Eunice and Andy a bit earlier because they are quite, like, funny
yeah.
together.
Justice for Eunice.
Yeah, Eunice, more Eunice. Len, what do you think about Eunice and Andy and Eunice's cruel, cruel trick?
You know, Eunice showing that he is not just a devout Catholic, but he has serious banter as well. Two don't usually go hand
Catholic
in hand,
banter.
But they didn't. I'm joking, Joe. But in all seriousness, I like Eunice and Andy. I like...
Are you shipping them?
I mean, that is a good, interesting Yandy. Question, Gareth.
Yeah.
Yundi. That is good. You know, people mean to Andy, but I quite like the fact he's in the show.
I think
the show's better for having a character like him in it because some of the other characters are just far too fucking serious. And I like his love for Holly. He seems very devoted to her. Like, you know, yeah. she's a unique
Falls
character.
Falls in love after one
day.
Unbelievable.
And he means that in the nicest way possible. That she's like no one he's ever met before, and you know he's infatuated with her. So I like it, and I like him, and I love Eunice. Eunice, you know, turning out to be the lead detective.
Yeah,
Eunice turning out to be a hero, quite yeah. frankly. Love Eunice.
Open-minded.
Well, things get a bit more serious over in the other car with Ralph and Holly. So they've both learned that Jack's broken into his apartment, grabbed his weapons, he's on the move again. And Ralph starts to tell Holly about how Jack missed out on his lifelong dream of becoming a sniper because he's mad, basically. Yeah. And then,
for the best.
I mean, probably, let's face it, he's not quite all there in the head, is he? Even before El Cucho got his creepy hands on him. Creepy? Creepy? Who knows? But then Ralph starts talking about asking what El Cucho, if it's real, or if he's real, really wants. And Holly talks about the fact that it just wants to survive. She also tells him that she appreciates he's skeptical, and actually that she needs his skepticism because she needs someone to challenge her, to keep her grounded on a case like this. Then they go on to talk about Ralph's son dying. So Ralph tells this anecdote about when he was a kid, his mum died. She'd been talking about the song that she loved called Washington Square by the Village Stompers, I believe. He sees it in the record collection, goes down to the basement to get it. By the time she gets it back, he's died. Very sad. And then the only other time he's ever heard this song is right after his son was born. He was driving to get some stuff from home for Jeannie in the hospital. And on the radio, the song comes up. And I thought this conversation was what I've been waiting for. So I've talked a lot about how in the book, Ralph and Holly have a much closer relationship. And this is what probably should have happened in like episode 4, episode 5, yeah. maybe. Because Holly turns around and goes, well, I mean, it just sounds like a coincidence. And they have a bit of a laugh. And I think they start to connect. I mean, Gaz, what do you think about the Ralph and Holly relationship and how that developed in this journey?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what could have been done the last 3 episodes is a bit of that relationship development. I knew she was going to call that a coincidence. And I think that there's a difference between that and the unexplainable, which is the El Cucho stuff. I think that was sort of a good way of illustrating. It was actually maybe a good way of Ralph kind of, I know he was laughing about it afterwards, but he sort of helps him to put the El Cucho stuff into perspective.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, there is a difference between these things. One's a coincidence and one is unexplainable by current sort of standards. So, it's probably a very important conversation.
Yeah, good point, Gaz, actually.
I found it very emotional and moving, I have to say.
Yeah. It's nice to just hear them laughing, if you get what I mean. Because it's so depressing. The show's quite depressing constantly. And just to hear, like, Ralph and her, like, having a little chuckle on a road trip.
It's nice to see a more human side of both of them, rather than Ralph being consistently unable to admit that anything weird is going on, Holly being her amazingly unique self, it's actually nice to just see them being human together.
Yeah,
I thought that was really good. And, you know, Cynthia Erivo and Ben Mendelsohn are great.
Yeah, it was a very powerful scene.
Yeah, agreed. Well, let's move back to Cecil in Tennessee, shall we? So Claude's hanging out with his brother.
Who is named Seal.
Seal. Claude is hanging out with Seal. I mean, right, let's move on from that. But luckily, Seal is still attending anger management classes.
Can we just call him Max Beasley? I don't think I can get through it if you call him.
Let's call him Max Beasley.
Let's call him Max.
So Claude's hanging out with Max Beasley. They're doing another job site advert. Brilliant. But Claude decides he's just absolutely got to go to Burger King, which, I mean, be honest, I've been there before. But Max Beasley only asked for some fries. And I think that's a poor order, quite frankly.
That's a shocking order.
I mean, it's just, I mean, let's shit. Not What's beat the around point? The bush. Burger King fries are the bomb.
I know, but mate, get a burger with it.
Oh, you also, want a Whopper? I love it. Double Whopper, like, actually, with cheese.
Get a burger as soon and some chili cheese bites.
And a drink.
As soon as Max Beasley is sort of slightly distracted for a moment, immediately Claude's just like, I'm after Burger King.
Product placement. We're not sponsored by Burger King either, so I don't know why we're talking it so much.
But the sad thing is, before he even gets his burgers or Max Beasley's chips, he gets pulled over by the cops. So they take him into custody. Claude, because I think Claude's a nice bloke. I mean, he's obviously made some mistakes in his time, like heroin and crime.
He's a good guy, I think.
But he gets on with... But he seems to be getting on with the two officers, which is good. But then Max Beasley turns up and just starts being a dick, quite frankly.
Probably because he's named Seal in the show. So yeah, he's got so much residual anger.
If
from
I'd
that
been
decision.
Named Seal, I just would have changed my name to Deepole.
Lucy.
What I thought was funny about this is you just had a scene where they were sitting on like the porch, which is such an American thing to do, by the way, which I love. And they're having this conversation and he's like, oh, so how's the anger management classes going? And he's like, oh yeah, oh, they really helped me actually. I'm going to sign up for some more. And then cut to literally 2 minutes later, he comes in and gets tasered. In
Where are my fries? Like, you said you were going to Burger King.
I wanted large fries.
I wanted those shit chips.
From Burger King.
But don't worry, even though they both get locked up, our team of intrepid investigators arrives to save the day because they were the ones that got him detained so that they could keep him away and prove where he was when El Cucho committed crimes as him.
I love that the police was just like, yeah, we don't know what we're holding him for. We were just told to by a disembodied voice.
Yeah, and then just tasered a bloke.
Yeah.
Like at that point, I mean, come on, guys.
Oh, Tennessee.
Oh, Cecil. Is that a real place, guys? Cecil, Tennessee?
No, it's not. It's not a real place.
I'm only.
What,
I would
no
normally
place
call
in the world
it.
Called
there's
Cecil.
A place called Cecil, but there's no Cecil, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah, don't argue with geography, boy.
How do you not know?
Anyone
that?
From Tennessee, you can write into us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com and let Gareth know he's incorrect.
I think here's the thing: they wouldn't want to do that because then you'd get loads of Stephen King fanatics rocking up at this little village called Cecil.
Oh,
being like,
what a nightmare.
I want to see the caves.
What a nightmare.
And it would have been flooded with...
Oh, I bet they hate that extra tourism, Gareth. I bet they hate it.
Yeah, all that money and jobs. Shit.
They don't
Burger
exist.
Burger King would love
so...
it if they jumped up some business.
Especially I'll have
fucking
the seal
Max
fries. The Claude Whopper.
That sounds dirty and I don't know why. So our gang rescue the Bolton brothers and they all head back to Seal's house. I can't keep calling him Max
Just
Beasley.
Call him Max, then.
They all head back to Beasley's house and tell them what's going
Please-o.
On. They're like, okay, there's this mental disembodied
Creature.
Spirit thing that eats kids and also steals your body and murders children because he's horrible. Claude's like, what? And then he goes, well, I mean, that does make sense, doesn't it?
I immediately believed it.
No,
just
say
like,
it.
They both just sat there. Like, I was like, Beasley's going to
Maybe he's been
this.
Going yeah. through so
and out
much.
Of nowhere, he's just like, that's me doing the impression of him smoking. And then he was like, well, I only got that couch out there on the porch. I don't know where the rest of y'all are going to stay. And I was like, that's your only issue.
I know.
Where there's enough room
And
for
also,
him to sleep.
How Claude's like, what the heck are you talking? And I suppose that makes some sense. Nobody's even tried to persuade him any further. Yeah. It's immediately bought
into it.
Let's
be honest. I don't think the Boltons are the brightest sparks in the box. So, you know.
And we've had 7 episodes of Ralph just not being convinced. So yeah. I'm quite happy to see someone go, actually, yeah.
I'm accepting of Claude's acceptances here. Yeah. I think it's fine.
However, need 3 episodes of stubbornness.
I'm very, very, very upset that Eunice has to sleep in his car. I don't know why he couldn't have slept in the chair.
That he was going to die.
Yeah, weird. But they stay there because if anything happens, it happens, right? So Ralph goes out for a fag. He's just taken up smoking again. Weak, quite frankly. Weak. Holly goes out and basically says, I'm worried you're going to fuck this up, mate, because you still don't believe what's going on and you're going to get in the way and it's all going to go to shit. We're all going to die.
She goes, God believed it just like that. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, come on. Can't they write your script better, Ralph? But Ralph says something quite interesting, actually, and I quite like this. So he says, can you respect the fact that I'm trying to get there at my own pace?
No, it's boring. I mean, speed up.
Yes, but we've been saying that for 3 episodes, so now I've got to respect Ralph because he is speeding up. But I think it's a good point. And now that I suppose that the contrived kind of plot of this is that they've had their little moment in the car about coincidences. So now she'll allow him to take his own time. But obviously this is the episode of, oh my God, I believe. Before we move on to the Festival of Caves or Cave Stock, as I believe it's
fucking
called.
Weird. Cave Stock. I mean, I know you guys love that festival, but what sort of a fucking festival
is
that?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's the actual sort of cinematography of it's quite good.
Yeah.
But what the fuck is that?
Can I just
ask
a question?
Like it, Gaz, do you like it, Gaz?
Because
it's quite geographical.
Yeah,
but it's also garbage.
Do you reckon they were in the writer's room? They're in the writer's room and they're like, oh, so this kid loves this thing called the Sabretooth Caves. And then they're like, why would they be going to this town for the caves? What if it's Cavestock?
Cavestock.
I was just like, what the...
Well, wait a minute, you mean like Woodstock?
But with caves.
Let's talk about this set of scenes. I'm going to give you a nice little succinct narrative and then we can really rip it to pieces if you want. So a family arrive in their RV, which is like a shit RV, quite frankly, to a festival of caves, literally called Cavestock. So that night, there's a cave festival. We've got music, we've got carnival games, and we've got people walking around in creepy animal masks.
Why?
And no, again, no caves.
It's like a furry convention.
Nobody going to a cave.
There's zero caves.
No, I think that's daytime work. Daytime activities.
When you ask a question about the caves, they just go, dunno, there's loads of caves.
Yeah, it's like 100.
Okay. I thought this was cave stock.
So the little boy's
there's like over 30 caves here. How am I supposed to know?
Don't go. There's 100 caves. Get it right.
So the son of the family, who's wearing a bear mask that I thought made him look like some kind of dark version of Ted, he goes to look at the map of the caves because he fucking loves these caves, right? So he is then approached by some bloke in a fox mask. This bloke drops a load of cave knowledge on him and he's like, oh yeah, I want to see the cave where the bears used to scratch their claws on the ceiling. Well, let's just walk off at 9 o'clock at night together. Don't worry.
Why has he been left unattended?
Right. A, bad parenting. B, thank God for his sister who's flirting with some geeky looking teenagers and she's like, oi, what's this dude doing taking my brother away? Yeah. Like, my kid brother.
Well, luckily as well, the two of them are wearing masks that nobody else in this fucking cave stock festival seems to be wearing. Like, there's nobody wearing anything like it. So one of the little nerdy kids that his sister's flirting with is like, hey, look at that cool mask over there.
It's true.
And then she's like, what?
It's not even that cool.
But the ferocious Mr. Fox is then tackled to the ground by a group of festival goers.
Yes. And satisfying that.
The dad, granddad.
Mr. Granddad.
And they manage to rip off his mask and you can hear pictures being taken. I've got a serious question about this. And my question is this. Who has their phone on loud that makes a noise when they take a fucking picture?
Holly, in that episode when she was...
Holly,
what is wrong with these people? Terrible.
Surreptitious
sneaking
photos.
Up on some guy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a shot of his neck.
Yeah. Without him knowing.
Right, hit me. Thoughts, everyone. This is a big scene.
All right, those masks are fucking cool, actually.
Yeah, they are good.
I got like sort of Wicker Man vibes.
Yeah.
Like as in original.
Stephen
Wicker
King
Man.
Likes his masks. Remember Castle Rock with the weird, creepy kids in season 1?
Yes, that's good.
With the animal masks, yeah. Animal Court. I thought it looked cool. It was kind of creepy. I hate the cave stock thing. I hate the fact that it's called cave stock. I hate the fact there's 100 caves in an area. just annoys me.
I'm going to go with Acadia.
They're in like a forest area. Where are these caves? Hundreds of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's one cave, there's probably a lot because it's probably limestone sort of rock.
Oh, here it comes, geography man again. You've got
rivers that have gone through millions of years.
Fine.
That makes sense.
Hey, I've got a GCSE maximum. There's 50 geology. Caves. Let's not be ambitious. But this was creepy, and I was saying this when this was going on. This kid has not been taught anything. You don't just go off with a guy to Bear Cave, like Bear Claw Cave.
A guy wearing the most terrifying mask.
And you don't leave your child. I'll show you if you like.
Everyone's at
fault. Okay.
You don't know where he is. And
well, gee, mister, that would be swell.
Gee-willikers, mister.
Yeah, man, show me where those 16 feet tall bear scratched the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit silly, but I do think the parents, like, so busy. They don't even seem like, oh, where's he got to?
No.
Just talking about how nerdy he is and how much they hate it.
It's like, oh, I'm fond of my son.
He is a nerd.
He's a bit nerdy. He's like, he's just got an interest, Grandpa. You're rude. Yeah.
I don't think this is Grandpa. I think it's
his dad.
But
why would you say, I'm fond of my son, but he's a bit of a geek? Like, no, I think this is Grandpa. He's old.
Well, it doesn't mean that he can't still be virile.
I don't want to think about that. I'm talking about hair colour.
Maybe they're adopted.
Maybe they're adopted.
Or maybe they've just prematurely aged because the son is a bit nerdy and he loves caves.
I think they are grandparents.
Just seems like unnecessarily confusing casting, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe they want us to be challenged, Gareth. They're challenging these... I'm sure the listeners are riveted right now by us debating whether they are grandparents or parents.
We really get into the nitty-gritty in this podcast.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what.
The outsider's fault.
I'll take control again, shall I?
Yes.
So... That's Ralph wakes up in the middle of the night after all this has happened by a sound that seems to coincide with some dream that he was having. Who knows? We're not inside his head. He gets up and he's also discovered that Claude is awake. And Claude is in his pants and a string vest or something, banging around opening doors like he's completely fucking paranoid. And it's very weird and very odd. I don't know what I feel about this.
I thought it might be the outsider.
Oh, maybe.
It's just the idea that it's inside his head, it's inside his psyche. Like, we know this creature gets inside his psyche. And he's still transforming. Like, he still needs information of Claude to...
So he's in his head, yeah.
So to become Claude. You know, he's still like a day or two away. Mm. He's still getting little bits of information from his memory.
Yeah, but he jumped the gun too soon trying to nick the kid, didn't he? Desperate.
Well, he's desperate. He's desperate, like good old Holly said. Yeah. So, I liked it.
Speaking of strange surprises, Max Beasley appears and takes a photo of Ralph while he's sleeping with the oldest camera with the biggest flash I've ever... That thing must be vintage. And probably worth a lot of money, to be honest.
Mm. So, is this photo going to be useful?
I reckon, like, El Cuco is going to be in the background or something.
Oh, no.
That'd be fucked.
Oh, well, Max Beasley's excuse is that he's had lots of cops in his house, but no one's ever stayed the night, so he had to document it. I also just think he's a bit fucking mental.
Because his name's Seal.
Yeah.
He's going to die. He'll die. Andy'll die. Jack's definitely going to die.
Oh, everyone's going to die.
Holly will be mortally injured, but somehow survive.
Mortally wounded, but saved by...
When
Faith.
Eunice went off, because he's like, I need to go off somewhere.
Kind of that many deaths.
He was going to get killed. Somehow.
No, he just went to church, isn't it?
Thank God. I love it. So, you just rattled off like six, but if I give one more. Nope, too many.
Too many.
Now it's just silly.
So speaking of Eunice, he is woken up the next morning by Howie and Alec. So Alec has decided that, you know, even though he's got this terrible feeling that everything's going to go wrong, it is Alec, obviously, he can't stand back and let it happen. So the two of them are trekked up there. They felt guilty to come along, for not coming along. And, you know, Alec mentions about getting that kind of taste of copper in his mouth before battle and war and that kind of stuff. But I know what he means.
He'll save someone.
Adrenaline.
And everyone sort of starts getting ready in the morning. You've got Holly and Andy curled up on the sofa, waking up, all looking
quite
all
cute.
It is cute. And then two police officers turn up looking for Claude. So very luckily, house was full of police and investigators and security guards, you know, and only one other criminal, that they can vouch that Claude was there the entire evening. But then our new officers, Officer Cecil and Officer Bessel, show them a video of the man at Cavestock having his mask ripped off, having tried to abduct a child. And whose face is that? It's fucking Claude.
Melty Claude.
Slightly melted Claude.
Yeah, slightly melted sort Claude. Of like overhanging distorted. Over one side. I mean, he's just being impatient, isn't he?
It's good though, because it doesn't, it looks like him, but it's not exactly him. So you can, hopefully they'll be able to make a case for
but that. But this is finally, possibly four episodes too late, the moment where Ralph goes, oh, fuck, this shit's real, isn't it? And he knows it is. He absolutely knows
before,
it is.
Ralph, but he didn't believe
it. He gives a little nod.
Ralph.
But the he difference gives a little is, nod at the end.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is that Ralph has physically been with Claude, so he knows he cannot have done this, whereas he didn't. He wasn't with Terry one way or the other in that. Gaz, what did you think about this final or penultimate moment of the episode of Ralph finally becoming a believer? I'm a believer.
It was done really well with the music.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It was like
country, pop country. Or
yeah,
something.
It was weird.
I was like, what's this weird upbeat music?
But
about?
it sort of put you on edge a little bit, and it was like
it was quite loud, like, oh almost like too
it's
loud.
It's probably some kind of Appalachian ballad.
I love the way now the detectives just stroll up with an iPad as well. Like, oh yeah, just in case before I arrest you, I want to show you why I'm arresting you.
Yeah, just in case you were going to ask. But yeah, I mean, I think, I can't remember who said it, but it's great that it's sort of like, that it is half Melty. So it's like, this does look like him, but not quite. And so nice. That'll be, that's enough to get everyone on board. Because there was a chance, like, they were all asleep. They could have had, Claude could have snuck out and tried to steal a kid. And
it
then
didn't
come back.
Happen in the middle of the night, though, did it?
No.
No. It didn't happen at like 9 p.m. or something. Or, you know, the kids were still awake, so, and still open to roaming caves.
Yeah, but his grandparents are very
his grandparent parents.
So it could have been.
Well, they just want to get rid of him anyway. He's a nerd, mate. Get rid of him.
Get rid of the nerd one.
I think they did a fantastic job of this. I mean, you're right, Gaz, about the music, and Lucy, you said about the atmosphere it created. It was almost too loud. It was like it was kind of in your face a bit.
Yeah, scary.
And Ben Mendelsohn nailed it. I'm not having a go at him at all because he's brilliant. Unfortunately, this just hasn't got there as soon as it would. But I'm excited. I'm excited now for the last two episodes. We close this episode with a really horrible shot of El Cucho / half Melty Claude sitting in a cave, probably that one with the bears in it, and very, very aggressively devouring the remains of a deer.
I think we've missed the bit where he's with Jack and he's making those horrible noises. No, he's like, bark. It's almost like, you know, velociraptors in Jurassic Park, that kind of like horrible, like barking.
I personally don't like it.
I agree.
I thought it was really scary.
I feel like my imagination of what this thing turns into and eats like is actually worse than what they are portraying. Like when we saw in episode 4, when Holly was looking on the internet and there's a fucking like Lovecraftian creatures, and my thought of that sort of thing is far more disturbing to me than this. Like, essentially, I felt they just recorded a lion eating in a zoo.
I quite liked it.
Shreds. It was just a bit more. I don't need to see that.
Liked the first time that we saw it, where he threw a bit of meat at Jack.
The noise he was making then, it was really disturbing. I
thought it was a great way to end it, and I'm really, really intrigued to see what happens in next week's episode. Any other comments from the team on this episode before we move over to King Corner?
Nope, all good from me.
I think so.
Just excited for the next two episodes, to be honest with you.
Let's get in the corner.
I'm innocent, Red. Just like everybody else here.
The house is burning.
Hi, Georgie.
I'm afraid I have a tendency to turn up the heat.
Red rum! Red rum!
Creepy Terry! Creepy Terry!
You flop door!
Hello, it's King Corner time. As I'm sure anyone who's been listening to the series will know, I've run out of Easter eggs because there aren't any. Well, apart from the little one we mentioned from Castle Rock with the animal masks.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, see. There you go. Yeah.
So we've got a nice one. Well done, Len. Thank you very much. Is it Len? Gaz? Who knows? One of the lads.
It was me. But yeah.
So I'm going to talk.
I said it was like the Wicker Man.
Yes, and also you are very correct. The feeling of it was very similar. So I'm going to talk about book differences, and I've got a handful here. So the caves, not cave stock, that's not a thing. But the caves are quite an interesting addition because the final showdown in the book takes place in an old mining area, which has a lot of underground caverns and so on.
Just like it, basically.
Well, you know, I've never been able to finish it or ever watched any of the films.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. But it's just like it. It's, you know, it goes to its lair.
Well, that's nice. So we have nice homage to both the book and it. Good. I don't remember seeing Claude's brother in the book at all. And I'm pretty certain he's not in it. But it did make me, I was like, that's fucking Max Beasley. What's going on here?
I know.
Does anybody know where Max Beasley is originally from?
He's Manchester.
It is. He's from a weird little village called Burnage.
He used to go out with Scary Spice, Mel B.
Did he?
Yep.
Two British actors playing two Tennessee brothers.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite funny.
Look at them now.
And he spent about 6 years doing adverts for job site.
He's done well to get in this.
Yeah, I like Max Beasley.
Yeah, me too.
So one thing that the show has done that the book doesn't do, which is quite clever, is they have made sure that they have eyes on Claude for proof. We don't get this in the book, and like visually and kind of plot wise in a show, it makes much more sense to do that. And I think they've done a really good job of pulling that in this episode. You know, I gave this episode 5 blueberries because it shocked me. It kept me gripped. But also part of that is the decision to put themselves in kind of the face of danger, if that makes sense.
They seem more concerned about preventing wrongful accusation of Claude than they do preventing El Cucho to kill a child.
Yeah,
I actually thought that the whole way through the episode. I was like, surely their priority is not to let a child die. It seems like they're waiting around for a child to die.
They are, but how are they going to stop it? They don't know who or where or what.
I know, I agree with that, but at the same time, I'd love that moral dilemma or someone, just a line in the whole thing to go, look, I get that we need to watch this guy, but shouldn't we be trying to save this kid?
Yeah, should be acknowledged. Yeah.
And then Cynthia would say something like brutal, which is just the way she might deliver it, which is like, but we don't know where that's going to happen. The only thing we can be certain of is where Claude is.
Well, the only thing that they can control in this entire scenario is Claude. It's not El Cucho. They can't control Jack. They can't control him. They don't know where they are. So they don't know what to do there. And I think, you know, it is a good point that they clearly don't give a shit about kids.
No, they don't seem to care.
You know. It's all fine. But, I mean, other than that, I'm not going to list all the things that don't happen in the book that have happened in the show because that's far too much fucking effort and far too much to waffle on. But actually, I don't think we're going in a bad direction for our last few episodes. I think there will be some really good homages to the story itself.
Well, we've got a good setting boosted up, I think.
Yeah, we're going in the right direction. Definitely.
We are going in the right direction.
Speaking of directions, shall I pass over to you, Len? And I've written here for a bit of alliteration, should we go to Feedback Fountain for some listener feedback?
Doesn't work.
Why don't we just introduce that on episode 8 of a 10-episode run? But okay, I like the idea.
I took some time to make up some jokes today. Well, so.
Grab a cup, fill it up from the fountain and drinketh what I giveth you or you provideth with us because this is the feedback section from you, the listeners. you can email in at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. It will be in the show notes as well. That's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts as lovely amounts of you have done this season and we have some lovely feedback right now, Gareth. Ewan Jones has this to say, hello gang, enjoyed the latest podcast. Some thoughts. So this is some thoughts on episode 7 and episode 8, okay? Right. El Cucho seems to require...
Patreon, by the way, everyone.
Yeah, well, that's why he gives us some good, solid feedback here. So El Cucho seems to require a helper while morphing into their next incarnation. Right now it's Jack. So I'm wondering who the helper was while it was morphing into El Terry. Do you think it could be either the mother or the father of the child that El Terry killed? Also, El Terry, fucking great nickname.
Yeah, brilliant.
Number one.
That's good.
Even darker, could it have been the brother?
Oh yeah, shit. It kind of was the brother in a way, because he went a bit rogue, didn't he?
Good question.
Number two. Alec told Ralph about a childhood story where he heard something call his name in the woods. Do you think that it was Pennywise, since we don't know much of Alec's backstory and that he could have grown up in Derry? When he told that story, my first thought was Pennywise. I wasn't in the last few podcasts, but when he was saying that, I was like, oh yeah, he was a kid. He was roaming around the woods. It's, you know, it was very much could be Pennywise situation. So I really like that shout. Number three, maybe Glory freaked out at the house showing couple because she thought she was being recorded again. I got the impression she thought it was a fake pregnancy bump that contained a hidden camera or something. Yeah, I thought that was what she was going about. They were.
Have you been watching
recording.
The Stranger on Netflix?
Yeah, I was just going to say this.
Oh no, but I had watched episode one of that, and I didn't.
Oh my
really
god,
enjoy
you're
going
to love it. No, you've got. To
I don't know.
It's trash.
No, really.
But it
felt very like British trash. Yeah, I wasn't very much into it. But I thought they were recording, so I'm going to give you that one. He says this. Overall, I think the last few episodes have been a bit of a drag, and 10 episodes is much too long. I completely agree with that. But yeah. I will stick with it until the end, but I'm not holding my breath for a stellar finish. Also, I recommend the latest Stephen King book if you haven't read it, and also the new show Lock and Key on Netflix,
I've seen
which
that
is an adaptation of the comic book series written by Joe Hill, who is Stephen King's son. So, yeah, a couple things there. Emma, you read the Stephen King. Lock
and
Key
Googling
is...
it now.
Yeah. Lock and Key is something that has been on our radar. We didn't feel it warranted any coverage necessarily. Netflix shows are actually very difficult to podcast on, but I'm sure we're all going to watch it in our spare time. On episode 8, he had this to say: best episode of the season so far, terrifying, and 5 bloobs. Cheers, and looking forward to future podcasts. So thank you, Ewan. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
I think the girls definitely over there definitely agree that it's the best episode of the season. I think it's, you know, the third or fourth best episode of the season, but I think it's a definite improvement. Next up, we have an email from Beth Panyuko, who has this to say, and this is a question that a lot of American listeners might actually be asking themselves when they listen to a lot of our coverage. So especially when me, John and Gareth are on the podcast.
And Lucy
to an extent. Emma, you don't really get involved in this. But what we like to do is our favourite comedy show in the UK is The Office. And Beth's question is this. Yeah. Who is David Brent? He's mentioned a lot in your podcast.
Brent Meister General.
He is, so in America, obviously you know The Office, but there is a British version which is far superior, which is before the American version, and he is the main character in that, David Brent.
He's the Steve Carell
in the English.
Played by Ricky Gervais.
It is amazing. If you haven't seen the English version, it's far superior in every way. Only 2 seasons, so you can get through it very quickly.
You must mention him a lot for someone to write in.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We quote him constantly,
so that's what all the quotes are. That sometimes are very British and silly.
If ever there's a quote, if ever there's something that we've said and you're like, I have no idea what they're
referencing. It's The Office. It'll be The Office.
Almost certainly The Office.
And probably David Brent. She also says, El Cucho is Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. So, think about that. I like it. It's random, but fun. Renee Fuller has had this to say. Come on, fan critical. This week's episode has to break the no half blueberry rule.
It can't be done.
Absolutely not.
Because it was definitely just shy of a perfect at 4.5. You see, now what you've done there, Renee, is...
Broken the rules.
It's a sign of weakness there because you need to fall down on 5 or 4.
Yeah.
You know,
the blueberry
scale
is the
4.5. Feel free to round it up.
Yeah, round up or down.
We will never... And I am stating this now, break the hallowed rule of, you know, decimal points on a thing.
It's like saying, oh, come on, let's just break the rule of gravity for today. Like, it can't be done. It's physics.
Well, yeah, it's physics.
It's just a thing.
It's immutable.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is a philosophical question and debate that will rage for the ages, really, but... Lucy, Emma, do you think this was a perfect episode of TV? I don't think you've ever seen a perfect episode of television. But it's a 5 bloop for it. And, you know, this is the thing. I don't think 5 out of 5 actually has to be perfect. I know
no,
that sounds mental. But
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to just hit the right notes for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's scale is different. So, you know, Renee, if you want to give it a 5, give it that little bump up and give it that little 5. Yeah. You
but
know,
don't give it a 4 and join me and Len.
It's probably a 4. Your opinions are never wrong unless, that you know, me and Gareth are always right. Well, unless I'm always right, Gareth occasionally right. Basically, Len's always right. Anyway, also, can Emma explain how it could go, how it could so easily kick Jack's ass at his apartment but struggled with the heavy set gentleman at the park? I think she means cave stock. It seems like its current stage is farther along than when we saw it as Jack's mother, so it should be even stronger now than it was before.
Yeah, Emma.
Love the show.
That's called physics.
Yeah, once again, physics. Yeah, heavy physics, set man. Just
you cut that out of the last episode where I corrected myself and said physics, and you cut it out to make me sound like a fucking moron. Wait on that.
It might have just been because there was something else going on, like a technical issue. I definitely don't edit you to make you sound
you
stupid.
You 100% do.
Don't. Also, never pull back the curtain, yeah? The listeners don't want to know about editing. They don't want to hear about that.
There is no editing.
There is no editing. This is definitely, we don't cut anything out. Fact. That was David Brent. Okay, there we go. Now, Todd Bradley is back and he has this to say. Hello, Toddy B.
Toddy!
Pros. Love the pace starting to pick up and the hunt for El Cucho beginning. The Jack and El Cucho scenes were very effective and creepy, especially the scene in the car with his hand coming into view. Yeah, that was good. Those scenes felt unnerving and freaky compared to Jack randomly getting his ass kicked by his dead mother.
Correct.
Agreed, that was a weird scene.
Yeah.
I think I would have preferred hearing more of what El Cucho was saying to him throughout the season. With that said, the show has made up for its lack of development with Jack with these last few episodes. I think how they're handling his character has been effective. The weird Foxhead Festival was unsettling and the score was top-notch in that moment.
Correct.
The score all season has been very good and sets the mood perfectly. Yeah, I think they could have done a bit more in the last few episodes with the score. I felt at the start of the season it was definitely extremely effective and I thought it was waned a little bit, but let's bring it back. Mm. I like the Holly and Ralph scene in the car. I see the complaints that Ralph has, but I think the biggest problem for me has been episodes 4 to 7, the screeching halt it took with the story. I think the show should have been 6 to 8 episodes instead of 10. The big turning point in the show was always going to be Ralph finally believing the problem was that there was nothing else really happening in episodes 5 to 7, and his denial was the main focus, which I agree at times gets annoying. However, I like how they got to Ralph believing at the end of this episode. I think it sets up the last two episodes perfectly. Cons. I don't have many cons this week, and I think they're best episodes since the first two. Well, this one was.
Agreed.
With that said, my one is a problem / question with the Claude story. How come he seems to be the only one El Cucho's victims... How comes he seems to be the only one of El Cucho's victims that has a sense he is being messed with? Is this because El Cucho is working faster, like Holly said? Would love to know what you all think. So Gareth brought this up, and I think it's just because we actually don't have the context of the other ones, like El Terry, which I think was brilliantly nicknamed earlier on by Ewan.
Well done.
We only joined El Terry at the moment of the event, so we didn't get the build-up. Obviously, the other characters, they could have mentioned it. Like, the only one that's alive is the woman in Riker's Island.
Yeah.
Maria.
Maria. And I just feel like we haven't had that information because none of them are alive and we never saw this build-up before. I think this seems to be what it does. This is how it burrows into your memory and it gets your info. That's how it gets it.
If that was the case, Terry would have been like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit better today or something.
Yeah,
like,
I know, I know. Or even when he was talking to Ralph, he'd be like, I've felt really weird recently or something.
Yeah,
like, but then again, he doesn't want to incriminate himself. It's a very tricky situation, but it makes perfect sense to me. If it inherits the memories and like the character traits, it has to be there watching them.
I think it
has to be burrowing into their memories.
Yeah, and I think it does make sense. I think the problem that the show has is that there isn't any canon material to base it on, so they're sort of making their own version of it, which is probably maybe why it's a bit more challenging for it to connect and for there to be consistency, because they're not working from something that already exists.
But yeah, Todd gives it a 4, Blueberry, so he agrees with the correct answer from me and Gareth. And
it's no right or wrong.
And that's Yep. And we're right. And that's all the feedback for this week. So if you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. There are two episodes left. We want all of the thoughts and theories that you have. Who is going to die? Who is going to survive? Will El Cucho survive? There's going to be a season two, everyone. It's very strongly rumoured that they are making a season two of this show.
That. It better be based on Eunice.
Well, you know, I'd quite like it based on like another little demon or something. That'd be quite fun.
I'd like it to be called Alec Pelly.
But, you know,
I think it should just be
a crime story.
10 episodes of Ralph not believing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sky's not blue. What are you talking about?
I'm covering that.
So it's good that there's going to be a season two, even though I think it's. I don't know how they can do it, but, you know, there's always a way. So, yeah, that's it for feedback.
Thank you, Len.
Over to you in the studio.
Back to the studio.
Back to the studio.
Thank you very much, Len. And thank you, everybody, who has sent us feedback this week. We love it. And it's always good to pick up on points that we might not have considered. So do send us what you think at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us or follow us on social media. We are at fancriticalpod on Twitter, at @fan_critical on Instagram, and just Fan Critical on Facebook. We do try to reply to everything that comes through and read out your feedback when we get on the show. Now, we've got
and
two episodes left.
Check out Hosts of Westworld podcast channel. If you could subscribe to that, that'd be ace. And our new video game podcast, Story Mode, a video game podcast brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network. Search for that on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you, everybody.
So before we sign off, I'd just like to let you all know that next episode is called Tigers and Bears.
We're going back to cave stock. Yes.
Cave stock.
Rock and roll. Caves.
So think that one over. Over the next 6 days before the episode comes out and see what you can imagine will come up. But I'd like to say thank you to Lucy.
Thank you.
Gareth.
Thank you.
And Len.
Thank you.
We've had a great time talking about this episode. I can't wait to go to Cave Stock and we'll see you all next week.
See you there.
See you later. Bye.
Hey, I'm after Burger King. Hey, get in the
fries. Give me some fries, man.